Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, May 29th, 2007. I'm John Abaya, and joining me today are the co-hosts of the We're Live in Bronzeville Fancast, and you can check them out at micred.com. Joining us today is Levi in Britain.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, so this is the first time I had you guys on. I've been listening to your guys' podcast for a while, mostly the We're Live stuff and the Bronzeville, especially the Bronzeville stuff that you guys have been recording. You guys are a great duo, I can say. Like, you guys have a good chemistry. just listening to you guys, just even the breakdown of each episode of Bronzeville, and especially We're Live, it's fun to listen to you guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's good to hear.
We have a lot of fun just talking about it, and I guess we just record and take a little bit of notes to make this, so I appreciate it.
Yes. I can't believe I don't know how much note-taking you guys take, because there's a lot of stuff that, especially on the recap episodes, I'm very surprised you catch a lot of things. And especially on Bronzeville, you had Witch Doctor on, and he had he was the not resident. He knew stuff, right? Like the history of Bronzeville, mostly.
Oh yeah, he had a lot more knowledge as far as a lot of the things that was going on in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, he's been a great addition to the team here lately.
Yes. Yeah, so you can check their stuff out at micred.com. Yeah, so usually my twin brother does the hosting job. He's out in Chicago right now, enjoying his little vacation. We joke around that he might leave us for, what is that? Not NPR. This American Life, I think, is a film over
yeah.
there. He's a huge a fan of This American Life, so I don't know if he's going to check them out or something. But he, yeah, but he's in Chicago right now. I'm doing the hosting duty. So if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions on the things that we watch, play, listen, and read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the radio drama / theater of the mind / podcast, Bronzeville Season 1. But before that, we do have a trailer talk, and this week's trailer talk is CW's Black Lightning.
The city is getting more and more dangerous every moment. I'm just trying to keep you safe.
Excuse me? I'm not afraid of the one time.
Yes, you should be.
That was a clip from Black Lightning on the trailer. Real fast, this is the synopsis on IMDb. It's about a retired superhero who becomes a vigilante for justice. Jefferson Pierce has made his choice. He hanged up his suit and his secret identity years ago, but with a daughter hell-bent on justice and star student being recruited by a local gang, he'll be pulled back into the fight as a wanted vigilante and a DC legend, Black Lightning. It's created by Mara Brock Akel and her husband Salim Akel, starring Chris Williams as Jefferson Pierce / Black Lightning, China Ann McClain, and Nafasa Williams. Yeah, so first off, I want to say I'm not a huge DC fan. I watch some of the CW stuff, mostly the Flash stuff, I dab in the Arrow stuff. I don't know if this is completely connected to the universe. I want to know your guys' connection to the CW. Do you guys watch the show or anything? Levi, we can start with you.
Sure. Yeah. I go back to watching DC on CW with Smallville. That was where I started over there. I absolutely loved that show. The first three seasons. Worth the fourth season was a dumpster fire, but after that it was pretty good. Then it wrapped up with an excellent 10th season. So And then they did they came out with Arrow. I didn't watch that until The Flash came on. Once The Flash came on, I liked that so much. I kind of tried to go back and watch The Arrow, but I never really stayed with it too much. I watched like the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. So, but they're all really the same as far as Arrow, Flash, Smallville, and that it's, they have a huge arc throughout the whole season, but then there's a freak of the week villain going on.
Yep.
And then the other part, that CW brings with it is clunky drama in a lot of ways. Like I enjoy a lot of it, and even though it's, you know, can be bad at points, and mm-hmm. like this half season of Flash, I hardly watched it at all and didn't really feel bad. But before that, I was a pretty diehard fan of the Flash.
I probably helped ruin that.
How
no,
so?
You didn't. I was just busy, and I don't know. It was the third year in a row with the same type of villain, so it was kind of weird. But no, I'm optimistic for it. Do we want to save the talk about Black Lightning trailer for after this CW impressions or what?
Oh no, we can dive into the Black Lightning stuff. My thoughts, real quick, on Black Lightning. I kind of like how it's a different like not take, but mostly so CW shows are mostly. How can I say this gently? Like, it's mostly white protagonists. It's interesting to have a black, especially in like today's environment. It's interesting they have they're actually paying attention to a black superhero. So I'm not familiar to Black Lightning at all. The only thing I know about it just recently is a clip from Brave and the Bold that Britain game showed me. And if he's anything like that on the clip of Brave and Bold, I don't know. I hope it's more grounded. Or not grounded, but he seems like a father figure in the trailer, and hope it's like that more and not like this teenage angst type of attitude. And I don't know, on the trailer it seems like the daughters are telling the story. I'm assuming they're the daughters are telling the story of the dad who they know that the dad is a retired superhero. And that he's like the principal, I'm assuming, on the school, and that he's helping this community. And this a threat happens around his community, and he's there to defend it. It's like a smaller version of like the superheroes that are currently on the Flash, or in the CW, where the Flash, the Arrow, they're trying to protect the whole city. And this one, he's just protecting his little community or neighborhood. And trying to, you know, protect it, basically. And I like that. It's, like, more grounded. Almost it seemed like how Netflix is doing it with the Marvel superheroes, like Daredevil and stuff like that. They're not saving a whole bunch of city it's just, or the world or something. It's just this small community they're trying to help out. And I'm in it for that. Costume-wise, it has that CW look. I don't know what you call that. The production isn't great. It's still like that TV look to it, and so there's a thing I call the CW gloss. I don't know, it's a term I always call it. Also with like, what's that other show they have right now? Riverdale has it too, or almost every CW thing. It's this gloss that looks like almost like a soap opera white around it, like the gloss of a soap opera. I don't know. If I'm explaining it right, but there's like a mist on your screen basically, and this show has that too, kind of. And that's the part I don't like about the CW shows, is that gloss and also the drama. It's always like drama, like you were saying about The Flash. It's almost has the same formula all over and all over again. And I think this is probably the sixth show that's based on a DC character on this network, so it's going to be kind of insane to see all these superheroes. And there's only, 7 days of the week, so I don't know how they're spreading these out so everyone has their, you know, equal showtime, basically. But what's your guys' thoughts on Black Lightning?
It looks fun, but, yeah, I have a feeling that even though the daughter is encouraging her father to get back into the superhero game, she's also going to be in every episode complaining that she's worried about him.
Yes. It seems like she has powers, too. I don't know anything, I said, in the lore.
And he's going to have a love interest who doesn't know, and mm-hmm. we're going to have to... You're hiding something from me. What's your secret for a season or two?
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be the somebody gets upset in whatever group they're in and walks out, and somebody from that group has to go, I'll go talk to them.
Yep.
Instead of just being able to talk about it in whatever conversation that's going mm-hmm. on.
You're just repeating this formula of the CW shows.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I'm all like for this type of show, but I'm just worried the way the writing is and everything that it just collapse again, like not collapse, but it's treading the same waters of every other show on CW. Yeah, I heard that shows that connected to the quote unquote Arrowverse, I don't know if they'll have actual like, you know, connections or like that in the future if the show is successful. But yeah, I don't know. I want to watch just one episode to see how it feels and how the characters are developed and everything. Are you guys interested in seeing? Oh, so you guys, are you guys familiar with Black Lightning?
Not at all.
Okay. No, besides but, that, Brave and the Bold clip.
That came up, and I was like, okay, what is the classic Black Lightning like?
Yeah, and, see, that's what I'm wondering too.
I gotta assume that irrational character in that clip is pre-retirement Black Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe he'll be more grounded, but I don't have real high hopes.
Same
now,
here.
it seems like I got real big into Luke Cage, and I thought it was phenomenal because it focused on local crime, that kind of thing, till near the very end of the first season. And this seems to be targeting that type of storytelling directly, mm-hmm. but my personal opinion.
I'm talking a lot of bad stuff about it right now, but I am excited to kind of see what they're going to do with it. It looks interesting, especially like they're probably not going to focus on the old geezer dad superhero so much as the young person, mm-hmm. Like you know, because it's CW. But I'm hopeful that with the hero being a little bit older and actually experienced, this isn't his origin story. You know?
Oh yeah, that's true.
We could get a different kind of story, and it looks interesting.
Will it be like the Incredibles? Like, you know, how the dad comes out of retirement. In the clip, seems like the daughter has powers, some like red energy coming out of her hands. So I don't know if they're trying to set up like a family of superheroes, basically.
Oh yeah, no doubt they will. They'll have other heroes for sure. And it sounds like if they're already showing that much, then she'll be by the end of the season superpowered and helping out and all that.
Yeah, I really hope they don't do like an origin story because I hope it's just like how Supergirl is, where it's just this character is established already. You guys know or. The character established in this universe already, and you're just on her with her adventures, basically, or with his adventures right now.
Yeah, that was going to be my question: is how many episodes in before we get an origin?
Yes, or flashback? You mean?
Yeah.
You got to know the overarching villain's going to be somebody from his past or something. So we're going to get an origin story in there, but at least the whole season won't be just him not knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we have like mixed views or impressions on this TV show. I'm still looking forward to it. I don't know when it comes out. I think it's a fall television show. I don't think it's summer because I actually didn't see like a date for this on the trailer. Did you guys see anything?
I did not. I assumed this fall.
Okay.
But as far as the trailer goes, the trailer was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
I know if it's on the CW, it's got some baggage. It's not going to be for everybody. You're going to have to check a lot of stuff at the door when you go in and watch the show if it's going to be like most of the CW shows.
Yeah, that's how I feel every time I watch a CW show. So on the CW shows right currently, you said you watch The Flash. Do you guys watch Legends of Tomorrow, iZombie, and Supergirl?
I watched a little bit of iZombie. It was pretty fun. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I've watched The Flash when my son was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, for me it was excruciating, but, it's not like I don't like any of the CW shows. I watched Supernatural for a long time and I'm waiting to catch up on Netflix. And then I loved Buffy back in the day.
Yep. So yeah, that's my that's my show back in the day. It was also Roswell too. I don't know if you watched Roswell.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I feel Roswell was the start of that CW, like I said, gloss, where it got like Buffy was way different to me for me. And what was it? There's another show. Oh, Angel was really different. Buffy and Angel for me of that. It was like a different generation, and I felt like Roswell. After Roswell started, and then they started doing more like teens drama type style of it instead of the Buffy style. I don't know. Buffy felt so different.
I assume it's a cash cow.
Yeah. I just really hope they do good on the show. But yeah, that's our impressions on the trailer. Moving on, basically we'll switch to comic book movie or TV show to what I've been doing this week. I've been listening to a new album from Linkin Park called One More Light. I hear my battle symphony, all the world in front of me. If my armor breaks, I'll fuse it back together. It is the seventh album, and it follows up from the 2014 album, The Hunting Party. Same band member, Chester Bennington, Mike Shinoda, Brad Delson, Dave Farrell, Rob Burden, and Joe Hahn. Before I give my impression, are you guys Linkin Park fans? I can't really tell from your tweets or anything like that.
Absolutely. Long time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Love them. Absolutely love them.
So, I don't know, when I grew up, so, 2003, whenever Hybrid Theory came out, I was in high school. So that album was kind of perfect for me during high school. And then they followed up with Meteora. Those two are one of my favorite albums while growing up. And Meteora still is like my favorite album just listening to it. And then Linkin Park had albums in between. Minutes to Midnight? I think they did other albums with like Jay-Z, Collision Course, and other. I'm probably forgetting some of them. So this latest one is very different. It's not more of a rap or metal sound. It's more of a blend of that new sound that kids today call EDM, the electric dance music. It's very low-key. It's in an odd way, it's very low-key too. And the sound is overall mixed well, but it's not nearly as aggressive as previous albums. Even though it's EDM, it's very tame and not very energetic to me. The album feels more... I could say, like, the album, if you're a kid today, or a teenager, or a young person today, if you listen to this album, you probably will like it. It's probably this generation's, like, Hybrid Theory or Meteora. It's very different to the point, because I'm already a father, and I have kids, and everything, most of the songs don't really reflect anything that I'm going through. For example, there's a song called Battle Sympathy. It's a song where you can go through anything in life, basically. It gives that message, like any other anthem or music anthem that you hear from different artists, that never give up, like Eye of the Tiger type song. And, Chester, the lead singer, does a great job singing. And I noticed in this whole album, he doesn't scream like he usually does in, previous songs.
That's one of my notes.
Which one was it? What was it?
I said that's one of my notes, yeah.
Oh, yep. So you listened to the latest album too?
Well, Redbeard hadn't given his review of Linkin Park yet, but I did. I actually didn't even know they had a new album out until Britton had told me about that earlier this week, that we were going to talk about it on this podcast.
Oh.
So once I heard, I went out and listened immediately, and I've been listening to it, you know, when I listen to music this week. So,
so okay, I'm going to sandwich this in between. You know, I'm going to start with something good before I start talking about it. I never was a Linkin Park fan.
Mm-hmm.
so please don't hold that against me.
No, no, it's okay. I know a lot of people who are not Linkin Park fans.
I did see them on an episode of Good Mythical Morning recently.
So, and yeah, that's
they
a
were,
good episode.
They were hilarious on there. I loved it. And that made me like those guys so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't know that they put out, like, behind-the-scenes videos and, like, they did comical stuff all the time.
Yep.
Like, they really interact and have fun with the fan base, and I thought that was really cool. But for me, every album they've ever had, they sound so happy about being so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they seem like they're going to dance their way to suicide soon. and
oh
it was...
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just never been... Like, well, okay. You got to look at the song names in this album and tell me that doesn't sound like a cry for help. Nobody Can Save Me, Good Goodbye, Talking to Myself, Invisible, Sorry for Now, One More Light, and then Sharp Edges.
So Sharp Edges is a song. If you listen to it, it's very corny, kind of corny song, but he has like a cliche lyric in there. I have the lyric. It says, "We all fall down. We live somehow. We learn what doesn't kill us, make us stronger." It's like a typical saying that you hear every day, basically. And, even though the song does that, if I was like a teenager and heard that song, it basically provokes like, your mom always tells you to do this. Like, you know, don't touch this, don't touch that. But there's a part of you that are curious to do that. And you're very adventurous, it might not even hurt you. It will give you like scars, like in the song we'll say, but those scars have stories. Like I can tell like, oh yeah, okay. I get the lyrics, but they come off kind of corny, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, this is how Linkin Park is now. Like, it's not screaming. It's not like in your face type. They're trying to like in a weird way, because a lot of the members now are like parents, and, especially Chester right now. I don't know if he's a parent, but, the way he sings now, it reminds me of like almost like a lullaby. He's just singing to you. He's not like, actually like, in your face, yelling at you anymore. I say that a lot because that's how I feel like in the past Linkin Park songs. Like, he's always in your face, with his songs. Levi, do you have any thoughts about the album?
Yeah, of course, being a longtime Linkin Park fan, so many of their albums are different. Like,
mm-hmm.
The Hybrid Theory is very different from Meteora, and then the next one is different.
Yep.
But if you go back and listen to them, they kind of sound the same now,
yep.
But like when they came out, they were very, very different from each other. And this continues that trend of just another sound that they're going for. And I feel like they pull it off pretty well. And the song names do look a little bit, I never even realized how they sounded until you Redbeard read them off like
yep.
that. But
if you read it off just by
you can call those out. But like, One More Light it's a really, I don't know. I just enjoyed how he was singing about basically, you know, who cares if another one of a million stars go out, you know, who notices basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he ends the chorus like, but he does, and he sings more about it and things like that. I don't know. It's a lot more optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That song especially is, sounds like he's singing a lullaby, like he's singing it to a kid or something, mm-hmm. or you can sing that to a kid. And it's still, you know, it's the way he sings it is very like soft. So I was always surprised by it. I don't like, doesn't mean I don't like it. I mean, it doesn't mean I hate it. I kind of like that he has this softer side basically, to him. Mm-hmm. The way he sings, I like how he sings. He has a unique voice for me, he has a very unique voice. Like the minute you hear him on the song, you know that's Chester basically. Especially Mike Shinoda, you know when he raps, that's Mike Shinoda like that. Even though his lyrics are not very, what am I trying to say, Mike Shinoda? It's not very, complicated. That's what I mean. Like his lyrics, it's very, easy to understand most of the time. So, like I said, there's like, one of the songs I really like is the radio song they have with, mm-hmm. I don't even know how her name, Kyra. It's called Heavy. So I have a lot of anxiety in my life, and this helps, this song really helps because it basically tells you, you know, all the weight on the shoulder, you can calm down basically. And then, the minute I heard the song, I can like go in a trance and just be peaceful kind of, especially mm-hmm. when, Kyra in the middle of the song, like takes over the vocals of Chester. And I like that part a lot because it's just very calming to me. Is there any songs that you like, or you see yourself replaying again?
I like the whole album. Sharp Edges was, I was just getting to the end of listening to it, I guess, the first time through, mm-hmm. and I kind of was getting tired of that one.
Okay, yeah.
But a lot of times when I listen to an album, if there's a song I don't like and I keep listening to it, it ends up being my favorite one for some reason. So I'll keep you updated on that. But I liked all of them. Heavy and Battle Symphony.
Yes.
Had some really neat, I guess that's the EDM part coming out.
Yes.
But it sounds great. But I liked all of it. And, of course, when I'm listening to Linkin Park, I cannot wait to hear Chester freaking start screaming mm-hmm. because it's freaking awesome, you know. But he didn't this album, and that's okay. He kind of gets close in a few different places.
He kind of, yeah.
Thank you.
There's my brother, because I told him the album came out. And the real reason I found out the album's coming out is similar to what Britton was talking about. I watched Good Mythical Morning. It's a YouTube show with Rhett mm-hmm. and Link. And they were on there promoting the album. And that's how I found out, too. I was like, oh, their album's coming out. Like, oh, okay. So I went to iTunes and, like, found – not iTunes. Whatever, Apple Music. And then I found it. I was like, okay. And then I started listening to it. If you guys want to if you want to check out like more funny stuff from them, they have a song. I don't know if you guys watched the movie Popstar, Never Stop Popping or Never Stop Something. I forgot what it was called.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's a comedy. They have a song there called Jeep. And basically, if you want to hear Chester scream, that's a great song. Just find that song on YouTube and just listen to it. It's a funny song. It's a comedy song, basically. And it's basically Linkin Park, but if they did comedy. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's my quick impression, or not even quick, of the latest album from Linkin Park. Moving on. So, Levi, you have something, a video game, you can say.
Yes.
What have you been playing this week?
Okay, I've been playing Ark Survival Evolved. Xbox One, PS4, Redbeard Plays also. And
awesome.
It is. It's simply put, it's an open world survival type game,
mm-hmm.
but where you start out kind of Paleolithic, and like the default place you start is called the island, and it's got a bunch of different, I guess to borrow Minecraft or whatever term, a bunch of different biomes. It's like, you know, beaches and jungles and redwoods and snowy areas, and you have to survive in these places. You get hungry fast, you get thirsty fast, depending on what you're doing. But there's also like predators from all the different times from Earth, and you know, past and current. And so and you can tame these things. You can, as you level up, you can learn how to build different things, and people build bases and all this. And so we've been pretty sheltered. We played on our own dedicated server.
Oh, you got your own server?
Yeah, we put together some money, and one of our friends fronted most of it and bought a used Xbox One to host our own server on. And so we learned how to play and had a lot of fun. It lived kind of sheltered. I played on a couple other people's dedicated servers. But then this week, I wanted to play on official, which I've kind of played on official here and there a little bit, but not – I've never tried to actually do anything, get anything done, right? And the thing about official servers is, and of course this is all online if I haven't mentioned it already. So we're playing with all kinds of different people. You know, you and five of your friends can hop on, create a tribe, start trying to build your base and tame your dinosaurs and see what you want to do. But on these official servers, they've been around for a couple of years now, even though the game's still in game preview mode. It's not officially released 1.0.
Oh, wow.
On these official servers, you've got these long established tribes that are like far ahead of everybody else, and they're called the Alpha Tribes. And depending on which official server you go to, you can have an Alpha Tribe that's nice and wants, you know, they call it raiding whenever you go into somebody's base and blow it up and take their stuff, you know, and they won't raid anybody unless like there's people that are picking on the little guy. They might go raid those guys. I'm sure that exists out there and I've heard about it. I've never seen it, but, so basically my story this week was I played on an official server and I met a couple guys. I thought about raiding them. I didn't, but I was like, I joined up with them. They ended up to be British kids and they had to get off early because they had to go to bed stuff. So I picked up with another couple of guys and we started playing together and we did our own thing for a while. We started building our base. We raided a couple, you know, boats out in the water and did our thing like that. And we were having fun. We were kind of getting something going. We were kind of amassing some supplies. And we've been seeing, you know, dragons come out every now and then. And you can server transfer dinosaurs, which is kind of a crazy concept because on this island are these different obelisks you can see in the sky. And they kind of help you know where you are on the map. You can navigate with them. But what they really do is if you want to go to a different server, you can transfer your character from these obelisks. And a different map is a desert map that has this dragon. So this guy's got this dragon from the desert map. He has it on our island map. And he's just running around eating noobs, basically. Like, we're just on the island trying to tame some crappy little dinosaur that's going to change my life. And he walks up and this dino on a dragon and, like, one shot bites me and I'm dead.
For the dragons, how big are they compared to, like, regular dinosaurs?
Compared to like a triceratops, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably about 4 triceratops long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And stands way above you. And he landed really far away from me and just ran up to me and bit me. Like, it wasn't, like, I wouldn't, if I had turned to try to run away, I probably couldn't even outrun it on the ground. And it was taking long, slow steps, but it had such a long stride. It was ridiculous. But so that was fine. And he was kind of cool after he ate us a few times and we didn't cry in chat. He started just giving us stuff, so I was like, "Oh, cool! He's hooking us up with stuff since we're not giving him the pleasure he wants of us going, stop killing us." But so we're doing good, right? Whenever my buddy messages me the other night, and he says, "We're getting raided," and I'm like, "Oh, you know, I was kind of expecting it to happen at some point." Well, he sends me a video, and it's this guy's is on the biggest, baddest carnivore, which is like. They have T-Rexes in this game, but this is like a bigger version of a T-Rex. I think it's like, they call it a Giga, but it's like Gigantosaurus or something.
Is that a real dinosaur or they made it up?
I think most of the ones on the island are based on real creatures. Okay. But I don't know about this one. But anyways, he's the video is this thing just walking up and it's got bunny ears from a recent Easter event.
Okay.
And it's just walking up and it starts chomping through our defenses like they're nothing. And basically, it ate off the front door to our base and they came inside and destroyed everything we had. So that's been my 1 week experience so far on, ARK official servers. I had fun. I tried to get on last night to start rebuilding, you know, cause me and my tribe mate had made a small other base somewhere else in the woods, right? And started trying to collect some stuff. Well, he didn't get on last night. His friend didn't get on. And it was just me, so I was thinking, these guys might be done. And I was talking with another tribe, and he kind of laid it out for me. He's like, you know, if you want to make it, you're probably going to have to server transfer, because all the alpha, there's more than one alpha tribe on this server, apparently, he told me. There's two or three different high-level tribes. Problem is, they're all friends. And since they're friends, they won't raid each other and attack each other. So all they can do is raid down on the lower level guys like us. So there's no way to grow on this server.
That sucks. Like, that's no fun then. There's
no,
they're just you know, messing with the little people then.
Right. Yeah, and I might get on and try to cause some havoc, but there's not a whole lot I'm gonna be able to do to hurt them. I've checked out some of their gamer tags and looked at their videos of the stuff they have, and it's just unreal.
You should
there's no catching up.
You should have Battle Symphony from Linkin Park playing, and then you know, get a group of your friends. Hey, I can maybe join, and we can, like, you know, build our bigger group and try to overtake them. Overtake one of them, and then it could be like a Game of Thrones thing, basically, and we can look up to you as a leader. And
yeah, the only problem with that is once you start getting a presence known, the alphas will wipe you so that you cannot catch up to them.
Is there an area in the map that no one really goes on, or are the alphas always everywhere? Like, they basically know every inch of the island, and you can never actually, like, build something big enough to, you know, overtake them.
Well, okay, so the southern edge of the island is all beaches, and that's like noob central, is anywhere on these beaches. So there's always like the dragon flying over and checking out those spots. There's other parts on the map I am going to try to go build on and just see what happens, because I went and checked them out and they were just completely isolated for like a whole giant section of the map. So I'll see what happens, but I did find like ruins of other bases that aren't there anymore. So
do you play on Steam?
No, I play on Xbox One.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. I don't have Xbox. I do have an Xbox One, but my twin brother and I share it, basically, because I don't really have time to play games sometimes, and he has time, a lot of time. He has no kids, so so basically, yeah, I'll tell him about it. I want to see, how much is the game again?
It goes on sale every now and then, but I think it might be up to 30 or 40 bucks right now.
Okay, that's not bad.
And but it's well worth it, for sure, to me, as much fun as it is. They mentioned
Xbox
Game of Thrones, though.
What was that?
Did you mention Game of Thrones? I'm surprised that wasn't the trailer we talked about.
Oh, yeah. So Game of Thrones, I don't watch the trailers for it because I want to be surprised. I never read the books. So anything that's like an HBO show, like Silicon Valley, Game of Thrones, and there's another one. Oh, Leftovers. So those are the three HBO shows I watch. And I try not to see any previews or anything. Mostly anything that I want to see, I don't watch trailers, basically. I feel bad saying that, say, because we just watched Black Lightning, but because I know they're established, mostly the seasons, I don't want to watch a trailer. But if it's a new property, I'm willing to watch a trailer. I don't know. I'm just like that sometimes.
Yeah. Finally, somebody else that watches The Leftovers.
Oh, yes. Man. Oh, so my brother and I talked in the past about The Leftovers. It's one of our favorite shows. I especially really like where it's going right now. Last season was one of my my favorite TV show of last season, season two. So yeah, I can't wait for how this season will end.
I know. Are you caught up? We've got two episodes left.
Yes. Oh wait. So I didn't watch this week, so I don't know anything about this week's. The last past Sunday episode. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's.
We can talk off air about this. I don't know anyone who watches Leftovers besides my brother and I. So even
my wife does.
Who else?
My wife does.
Oh, okay. Wait. So when she's watching it, are you near her, or it's not your cup of tea?
No. Well, this year I've taken a lot of side work, so I have deliberately avoided certain shows.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You should.
It's good. It's from the creator of Lost. Yes. So, and he. It's. Man,
but it's
only it's three seasons total.
Mm-hmm. I call it like a fine-tuned Lost. Like because it's not like, you know, 23 episode, they have to do this thing like Lost did. He fine-tuned it more. It's more straightforward and more focused. So my brother and I really love the show, and we talk about it like a lot. More likely this might end up on our list later on. I have to see how it ends first.
Right.
I guess I'm going to have to watch it now. You kind of sold me on it there.
Yeah.
A fine-tuned Lost.
Man, I would recommend listening to the Bald Move, what is it, their Leftovers podcast, because they catch out and pull out a lot of stuff from the episode that I don't always catch. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's one of those shows that is heightened by a companion podcast a lot.
Yeah, so I haven't listened to any companion podcast for it. I want to, but I haven't found like a good one to listen to, especially for this one. It dives a lot about like the Bible and just the imagery of what they use and stuff. And so it will probably help me a little bit more if I had like a companion podcast with it.
Yeah. International Assassin's one of the most interesting things ever done on screen
yep.
before.
So that episode sold me like as like, oh, this is one of my favorite shows. Just the way it was, filmed and the way it looked and the story, just like, oh, no one's doing this at all in television. Everything looks, everything feels the same in other television shows, like Walking Dead, it's like the same thing all over. Even kind of like Game of Thrones, but that one episode of Leftovers got me like, whoa, this show can do anything it wants, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Enough about Leftovers. I feel like I could do a whole episode about that.
I hijacked it. I got two things, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Redbeard plays Ark too, though.
Oh, you yes. do?
My Xbox is my Ark console. I don't play anything else on it.
Oh, really?
I don't normally have time for games either, so I'll get on there and blow off a little steam every once in a while.
I need to borrow my brother's Xbox because I want to play that game. I've seen people play it. I like the way it looks, and it's basically a more realistic Minecraft with dinosaurs to me because there's crafting, right, and everything.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah,
you just can't dig. If you could dig, it'd be a totally different
game. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
If you could change the landscape of that area, wait, can you? Or,
well, you can get rid of fauna or flora, like you know, trees and shrubs and rocks and junk, but you cannot disturb the actual earth.
Okay, they should update it now. No, then people will be just making traps. Like the Alpha tribe will just make traps everywhere, and then. You know, areas that you can never dig out of or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you can put turrets on your base and you can make these plants that shoot, like, this weird thing that covers up your screen. And
wait, so in the Ark Survival, getting back to the game, is there, like, a story to it? Because every time I see people play it, there's no, like, real story. It's, like, almost like Minecraft or just in the world. Is there, like, actual story to it?
Okay, so they have caves on the island you can go through, and these caves have artifacts that you can use to, like, fight these in-game bosses
okay.
to get, like, certain in-game resources.
Mm-hmm.
And they just added a new cave on what's called the volcano. Okay, it's a volcano, and it's called the volcano. But they added a new cave there, and apparently when you beat that cave, you get to learn the true nature of the Ark.
What?
Each world is called the Ark.
Huh.
But,
have you guys done it or?
Oh no, I'll never do that.
Is it more?
It's just the time it would take to do that without being on like a crazy boosted server. Like we do play on one boosted server. It's unreal. Like the time needed to devote to it.
Do you need like a group of people to defeat it or like almost like an MMO like WoW where each person play a part, like one's a healer and one's a doing damage more.
That's where your dinos come in.
Okay.
You kind of have different dinos doing that sort of thing, but you would want a group of people in this one.
Yeah, sounds like an interesting game. I really want to play it, but I have to find time to play it, and it seems like a game that I have to dedicate hours to, and that's hard for me. Like, recently I'm playing, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and I'm already like almost 70 hours in and I'm not even close to finishing it. And I just love like exploring the world and stuff like that. So I can't put another game that's almost similar to that, just exploring. I'm afraid I'll just, you know, have an endless list of games that I don't finish.
Yeah, Ark breaks time. I mean, it's gone. You play what feels like 5-10 minutes and it's been an hour.
Yeah.
So... just warning, fair warning.
Yeah, kids are lucky these days. They have games like this. I feel like when I was growing up, I finish a game like in maybe 4 hours and that's it. And then I move to the next one. Now there's so many mm-hmm. games that are like dedicated hundreds of hours, or you can build your own narrative basically, like Ark. It seems like you can just build your own narrative. And that sounds so fun. Like, But yeah, I don't have time for it.
Yeah, it's a time suck, no doubt. It's fun though.
Yes. So moving on, Britton, you have listened to something, I could say, listened to something. what have you read/listened to this week?
So yeah, all of us kind of have been listening to it, but We Are Legion, We Are Bob.
For God's sake, that sounded like a voice synthesizer having a breakdown. Freud put down the tablet, leaned forward, and rested his arms on the desk, or table, or whatever. Please keep trying. It can take a few attempts for the Guppy interface to mesh. I considered what he'd said. It immediately brought up 3 points. Point one, I wasn't dead. Well, okay, I think therefore I am, yada yada. Call that one proven. Point two, I wasn't good as new. In fact, I appeared to be speaking through a voice synthesizer, but doing so by mental control, which meant, point three, that the technology had advanced significantly since I'd been hit by the car.
And how long have I been out? Three-book trilogy by Dennis E. Taylor, and I've been listening to the Audible book narrated by Ray Porter, who is phenomenal. I don't know if you're familiar with 14 or The Fold, but he does an outstanding job with this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise, there's a guy, he's a software developer, and he just sold off his company and landed into a great deal of money.
Oh, wow.
And when he does this, he signs up for a cryogenic service. And within 2 days, he's dead.
So what?
When he wakes up, he's waking up in kind of a dystopian type future, and they have put his entire consciousness into a computer, and at that point he's supposed to be what do you call it?
Android?
Von Neumann.
Yeah, Von Neumann.
Oh, okay. It's a word I never heard of.
So, essentially, he's supposed to go out and create more of himself and, go explore the universe.
Hmm.
It's a ton of fun. He's on an adventure. He's seeking out planets. He's looking for, planets that are habitable, and it's incredible. There's a lot of philosophical topics that it kind of breaches into, and it's kind of what is consciousness, what is the soul, to a degree, is asked in there, and I don't know, if you like The Martian, this is a whole nother ride on top of that.
The Martian?
Yeah, it feels a lot like Mark Watney as, an AI for, for Von Neumann probes.
Does it take place in the future, like far, far in the future, or Earth?
How many years into the future is it after he? Because he dies,
I think it's
in
22
like
something.
Day.
Isn't it 22 something?
Yeah, I think so. So it's like 200 some odd years into the future, and they get into time dilation, other topics later on, but so it progresses. Several hundred years into the future, eventually.
Oh, wow. Does it have an AI? Have you guys watched AI before? The little boy?
Yeah.
Does it have that type of feeling about, like, what is memory and all this?
Yes, it does.
Oh,
right.
Really?
It's not as heavy as that, though.
Okay.
Now, if you're us and you get into discussions about various aspects of the story, it can get to that level, but the book doesn't address it head on.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of exploration is the feeling you have when you're doing it. You're discovering new places and things. It's really cool.
When he goes to a new place, do they describe the area really well in the book? Like,
incredibly well.
Okay.
I'll say, and this is a spoiler, he does come across a planet with other life,
mm-hmm.
and they explain the culture of this life. They explain, you know, what their struggles are, who the predators or the, you know, the different species of animals that they have to contend with, are against. And you even get to know some of that species and develop a relationship with them.
Hmm. Yeah, so, it's kind of the same feeling as Interstellar when you got to go visit the multiple worlds they were going to look for life, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of that same feeling, not at all the same kind of story, but you get to see new worlds and things like that. Sorry, Redbeard, hope I'm not stealing it too much.
No,
too much.
No, I mean, I appreciate the help on it because this book does hit on a lot of topics, and you don't have to be super interested in those scientific topics in order to enjoy the book. The book is a fun ride on its own. And there's a lot of comedy and pop culture references.
Really?
And, oh yeah.
Even
yeah.
though it's in the 2,000 years in the future, it still has like pop culture references. Wow.
Yes.
Well, he's from our time.
Oh, okay. I think that's where I was confused about. Okay, so that makes perfect sense.
And they mentioned that, you know, even hundreds of years into the future, people still are familiar with the Star Trek series.
Oh, cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Huh. Yeah, I'm a huge sci-fi person right now. Or not right now. So when I was young, I was never really into sci-fi. Like, my first exposure to sci-fi was Spaceballs. after that, they're supposed to be making a new one. Huh?
They're supposed to be making a new one.
Oh, they did the animated one, but it wasn't as good.
No, they're supposed to be making a new live action.
Oh, really? Huh. I really hope, what's his name? One of my favorite actors. The guy with the glasses.
Rick Moranis?
Yes.
Yes.
I know he won't come back. I know he's, like, retired, but I just want him to be, Dark Helmet guy. Yeah. He played that so perfectly in that movie.
Well, Mel Brooks is still kicking around.
Yes,
so I'm holding out hope.
But yeah, currently I'm into Doctor Who. Like that's why when you're talking about the book about exploration and stuff like that, I was like, I want to see that. Oh, also, I'm into Rick and Morty. So like those type of sci-fi, like just exploring different worlds is like the thing I like mostly in sci-fi.
Well, I think it goes without saying that Rick and Morty need to be on your freaking awesome list.
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't watched have you guys watched the April Fool's episode they aired? Like,
yes.
Oh, I did not watch it because April Fool's is my birthday and I was up late too that night and I didn't know about it until like later on when people were tweeting about it and I couldn't find, I couldn't figure out when the episode starts, so I kept on like going off and on, like, you know, trying to figure out when the loop will happen again for the first episode, so I didn't get to watch it. So I'm like, oh, I have to wait now. I don't know when they're.
No, it's full things online to watch on YouTube and everywhere else.
Okay, so I'll go try to check that out because, my wife and I are like huge Rick and Morty fans, and we became, this year alone, or was it last year? Whenever season 2 ended, that's when we became fans. But only
same here.
I can't wait for that.
Dude, yeah, that I love that series. I could watch it over and over.
Mm-hmm, same here.
But
we do watch it over and over.
Oh, yeah, we do. We got the soundboard queued up on our phones all the time. But have you watched or listened or read the Expanse series?
No. Is that the one from Sci-Fi?
Yeah.
No. I heard good things about it, but I never really seen like a trailer or anything like that.
It was difficult for me to get into the Audible books, but it was a fun ride. Like it was worth it, but it was an investment to get into it. Cause for the first book alone, I didn't feel interested at all until about chapter 25 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sheer peer pressure from a mutual friend of ours that kept me going and wanting to hear, you know, where this, you know, how, where the awesome kicked in because it took a while.
So it has an ending, like, actual, because in this TV series, I'm,
I didn't know the book series has an ending. I don't know if it's like a Game of Thrones where they're still continuing it.
Yeah, they're still continuing it. One book came out this year, and I think another one is supposed to come out either this winter or at the beginning of next year, I think. I can't remember for sure.
Okay.
But, yeah, that it's pretty good. It's just, like I said, it's an investment.
For We Are Legion, We Are Bob, how many books is this one?
The book two came out, what, March?
And yeah, March or April somewhere.
And then book three is supposed to be out in August.
Oh, wow. That's
it
fast.
Got pushed back a little bit. Yeah, yeah. So, and that's it. Like, it's a trilogy. It's good. Unless they do, like, side stories later on, it's all, should contain everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'll try to download the first book.
Yeah, it's
worth
it.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I kind of struggled with finding my topic because I've picked up some new stuff this year that was, you know, pretty good. It was entertaining at least, but I've been catching up on a lot of older stuff, and I just started watching Silicon Valley this year.
Oh, that's a good show.
I want to start that.
It's a lot of fun. I'm caught up completely, so I can't wait until Sunday. But I found out that T.J. Miller is supposedly leaving the show.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of bummed.
Yeah.
He's a big part of it.
So, yeah, as a comedian, I really like T.J. Miller. Have you guys ever listened to this podcast called Doug Loves Movies?
No.
So it's a movie podcast from Doug Benson. It's basically like a game show. And that's where I first found T.J. or discovered T.J. Miller. And his comedy, and it's a similar comedy on Silicon Valley. And his voice is a very unique voice. Like, right away, especially in animated shows, like, what's that animated one he was in, with the robot in Disney? Big Hero 6. So,
yes,
he was in that one. And he's also, I think, How to Train Your Dragon, or How to Train a Dragon. But yeah, he has that distinct voice. And yeah, when I heard news that he's leaving Silicon Valley, I was like, ah, he's like one of the best, one of the cool characters on the show, like a very funny character.
Yeah. Oh man, I love it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I'm pretty boring though. I think I listened to Maynard James Keenan's book this year and a book about Hunter S. Thompson that his son put out.
That's cool.
But yeah.
Judging on Twitter, though, you make a lot like stuff at home. Like, I seen you make that mask from Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
I was like, man, yeah. He actually made it.
It weighs like 6 pounds, so it's ridiculous.
Do you have that mounted somewhere, or?
Yeah, I'm going to mount it on the wall. I'm already planning a new one made out of foam.
Oh, wow.
So I'm learning a lot. That was kind of I've never done any sculpting really ever.
Mm-hmm. It looks great though. And, it looks like the real thing.
Oh, cool. Cause I'm kind of hard on myself when it comes to creation.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've been playing around with shaping foam. It's a lot of techniques that have been developed by cosplayers.
Oh, yes.
And it turns out it's not that difficult to do. So, I'm going to give that a go here in the next couple months.
Yeah, I can't wait. I want to see what you make.
But yeah, I'm always making something or up to doing something around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is real artistic. She's more into that than I am. She plays with a lot of polymer clay and does cake decorating and stuff.
Oh, wow. I don't think I see any of the cakes on your Twitter.
Yeah, I know. I need to get her to photoblog her stuff at least, and that way she can share it. She's working on a Rick and Morty sculpture.
What?
With polymer clay, and it looks awesome, but we...
It looks so good.
Three-dimensional? Like the...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's got his lab coat kind of blowing out into the side as while they're running through a portal.
Wait, how big is this sculpture?
It's not very big.
Okay.
I think by the time she gets done, it might be about a foot tall.
Okay, that's not bad. That's actually kind of a good size to have a sculpture.
Yeah. So, yeah, she does a little cutesy things, and she's learning a lot more. I set up my my office where I record at and do a lot of my projects.
Mm-hmm.
I had a projector set up for movie and TV viewing, and then I had workbenches down the side. Now I've moved all the TV stuff to our living room, and my office is nothing but rows of workbenches lined the walls and shelving so that we can do more of that kind of stuff.
That sounds like a cool office.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah, we want to be vagabonds at some point in our lives. Go around selling art.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's move on to our main discussion. Thank you for that impression of We Are Legion, We Are Bob. It got me really interested. I really wanted to actually download it after this podcast probably and listen to the audiobook. Oh, I forgot to ask, how long is it, the audiobook?
Let's see. The first book is 9 hours and 30 minutes.
Oh, perfect. So I can actually, one day I can listen to that at work.
Yeah.
And have it on.
And then the second book is right at about 9 hours.
Okay. They're not that bad. I thought... they're like 30 or something. I don't know. I never really listened to an audiobook. So in my mind, I'm thinking about We're Alive or Bronzeville, where each one is that long. Yeah, 10 hours. That's a good, yeah, it's like Bronzeville-ish. But moving on to our main discussion, we will be discussing and give our impressions on the latest or season one of Bronzeville.
You're listening to radio station WKW in Chicago, Illinois. June 11th, 1945. Our big story.
Brother man, how lucky do you feel today?
Sorry, what?
Numbers, brother. I'm talking about the policy wheel, country.
Name's not country. It's Jimmy.
Welcome to Bronzeville, my brother.
The wheels keep spinning. Nothing can stop them.
That was Curtis Eyeball Randall. He built all this. Then he handed off to Everett Copeland.
Zeke, Jesse, my brother.
Yeah, man.
All of it. They got a piece of it.
Disclaimer before we give our impression. Us three, Levi, Britton, and myself, worked with Casey Whalen. He's the director, one of the directors of Bronzeville. I just want to put that there, so if anyone's wondering. if you have never listened to Bronzeville, here's a quick... guest story outline on their website. You can check it out at Bronzeville. Oh, I totally forgot what the website. Oh,
BronzevilleSeries.com.
Yes, BronzevilleSeries.com. And on the long line on the website, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Lawrence Tate, and Tika Sumter, and written by Academy Award nominee Josh Olson, who also did A History of Violence. Bronzeville chronicles the lives of players in the lottery game, while illuminating the self-sustainability of the community's African-American residents in Southside Chicago. The podcast was released in February of this year and ended in April, so this is kind of like a late review. You can listen to all of it, all 10 episodes, right now on any podcast app that you have, I'm assuming. You guys know it's on Google Play, and I know it's on iTunes.
I know it's on SoundCloud.
Yes.
I don't know about Google Play.
And I think you can actually listen to it on Bronzeville series too.
Yes, you can.
Our listeners want to do that before we dive in. Do that real quick, and then you can listen to the end of this episode. But right now, we will give our impressions. So in the beginning, I want to try to just do non-spoiler stuff. So you guys... the companion episodes for this series, with Bronzeville fan cast. You guys can check, to our listeners too, you can check that out. It's better if you listen to one episode and listen to the next one. I kind of did it differently where I listened to everything and listened to yours all at once.
Wow.
Yes. I don't know if I did it correctly, in order, basically. But yeah. I'll give my quick impression, of it, and then we can dive into spoilers after each of us, give our quick impressions.
Okay.
I really liked the story. it's a story I never knew about, and I didn't know it was real until later on. Like, I didn't know this is a historic thing that happened in Chicago, especially in the African American community. And it's a interesting story. It's a it's something that I didn't know that went on with, especially with the lottery and everything. And I found it very captivating just to listen to. All the actors did great, especially the key ones, Lawrence Fishburne, Lawrence Tate, and Tika Sumpters. They play mostly the main characters of the show. I'm probably missing someone else. The one who played,
there's so many stars. Tracy Ellis Ross, Wood Harris.
Yeah.
Lance Riddick.
A lot of, movies, or not even movie stars. TV stars, whatever, movie stars, celebrities, whatever, are on this, in this podcast that you did not expect. I didn't really, like I said, like earlier, something that I want to watch. I don't really watch the trailer. And then I was really surprised, especially some people that are in shows or in movies that I really like. And then they're just, you can right away notice their voices. And I thought that was kind of cool that they got these big names and stuff like that in this episode. The sound design is great. Every time they switch to a different area, you right away knew they're in the city or they're at the train tracks. These are just stuff, areas that are in the podcast. Minor spoilers for that. Just the atmosphere they give for each, like the, what do you call that? The Foley sounds, like you could say, are very, very interesting. Like you could really hear the footsteps when they're walking through a door or like a wooden house or something like that, or the background music or the background sounds in the city and stuff like that. I really like that. And especially the storytelling, I really like too. Each episode had a great cliffhanger that you really want to listen to the next episode, especially towards like the middle or in the middle of the series, when certain things happen and you don't know the certain characters, what do you call that? The aftermath of certain scenarios that I really liked. That's basically my quick impression about it. How about you guys, Levi?
Yeah, of course, I loved it. And I was expecting to love it, and which sometimes whenever you are expecting to like something, you get let down by it. But this was not that type of situation. Really did like it. The story was good. It was amazing to get to hear, you know, mega stars, Lawrence Fishburne, Lawrence Tate, and all these that we've mentioned so far, in podcast form. Mm-hmm. Of course, with Casey Wayland producing it and Grayson Stone editing it, I was expecting We're Alive like attention to detail the background sounds and everything. And this isn't anything about what Casey or Grayson did. I don't think that the direction of they wanted to go with it. I don't think they cared to have it be that detailed.
Oh yeah.
It seemed like it was a lot of, you know, more just regular old footsteps in there for people and not like having actual character in each set of footsteps, you know? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that important to this story necessarily, but that's not even really a detriment. That's just not where they wanted to go with it. So I wouldn't say I was let down by that, but I would have loved to have seen Casey and Grayson get to flex their muscles, because they really could have brought it to, I guess, an even better production than what it was. But aside from that, I mean, the theme song is great. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, that's a pretty good song. Mm-hmm. But the end of the series, I'm like singing along with it, you know, loving it. It's a great song. It sets the mood. The radio broadcast they did.
Was it 1,000 or nothing?
1,500 to nothing, I think. Yeah, they were really good. All the performances were excellent. Even down to the bit players, Johnny Cothran Jr., he played like five different parts, but he was excellent.
Oh man.
I didn't
know. Renty Brown narration.
Five different parts.
Yeah, he played a bunch. But, and the story was great. I mean, we're talking about gangster stuff. Mm-hmm. In a historical setting that, my sheltered life had never even heard or thought about. But when you got to dive into it and look into the history, it was really an interesting time in history. So not only did I get to enjoy this great story, I got to learn a lot more about a whole bunch of different dynamics that I didn't understand, and I still don't probably understand exactly, but I can appreciate more. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I loved it. I would recommend it for sure. And as much as I don't think they're going to come out with a season two, I really hope they do.
Yeah, same here. Especially that cliffhanger at the ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, why do that to us?
Yeah, because now if it breaks over and they go to a TV show, they're gonna do season one over, and we'll have to wait another year to find out what happened at the end of season one.
And it's great, and I'll segue this for Redbeard. The writing was great. Only thing was there's some kind of numbers code that is chalked up to be a whole lot of stuff. Who knows? Probably isn't.
So anyways,
Redbeard,
what is that numbers code? Did you crack it yet?
No, I have one more that I did already, and I was looking at location information that could be hidden into the numbers, but I'll just go ahead and say it's not.
Okay.
The whole thing just, it's something obscure and only Josh Olson knows. but, you know, so I'll let him have that. He can win.
For the listeners, so I think we forgot to mention, for each episode, there is a lottery in the beginning of it. Sometimes it's one or two, I think three numbers, right? It never goes beyond three.
Never goes beyond three.
Yes. And then, there is similar to Lost or whatever, Fringe did the same thing where each of, there's this thing in the beginning, and it might be a code. Josh Olson, the writer of the series, said that it means something, but he hasn't told us or gave any hint at all of how to decipher the code, basically.
Yeah.
And then, I remember on Twitter, I asked you, like, what are the numbers? And when you gave it to me, I was like, yeah, I don't see any pattern. I don't know, have no idea. But I thought there'll be like a little pattern or something like that, but it just looks like just a bunch of numbers. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I even ran it through things that would analyze the numbers and look for patterns in them, and it came up with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I even went through as much trouble to write a small amount of code to translate those numbers to musical notes to see if that led to anything, and it didn't. And I don't know. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we'll just have to wait for Josh Olson to reveal it if he ever does.
Yeah.
it's probably going to be the barcode on the back of liquor bottles.
Probably. So but, what was your impression of the first season of Bronzeville, Britain?
I love that they loosely based it on actual history.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the most fun I had out of all of this, was looking up information in the book Black Metropolis to kind of correlate what was going on and what was happening during that time period, or why did this event take place. And, you know, it's loosely based on the Jones brothers and Mushmouth Johnson, as far as the characters go. I mean, they're kind of a hodgepodge. And those stories are strung together to create the story of Bronzeville. So, yeah, a lot of fun. And that, if you're interested in that type of history, Black Metropolis is like the ultimate guide, because everything's indexed and it goes through. I mean, it had precise details of how the numbers games worked and how the number stations would communicate those numbers out to potential winners.
Mm-hmm.
And how the money went through the community and paid off law enforcement and different officials.
So in the series, that's one of the things that's kind of confusing, is how the numbers work. They don't really explain how it works, really. You have to, like, go with what the people are saying about it and stuff like that. For me, it was hard to understand, like, how are they picking it sometimes, or like what are the certain numbers and stuff like that. They kind of explain it a little bit, but I'm assuming in that book they explain it more.
Yeah. So they would play the game, and sometimes they would only generate one number. Sometimes they would generate up to three. And it, depending on how you placed your bet in the game, you could bet on picking one number to be right.
Okay.
And you would get a smaller payout. But if you got all three of them, you got a big payout. And the numbers, as far as the stations that were playing a legitimate game and they weren't rigging it, they would have that bingo-type basket with the balls in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just rotate it, and whatever numbers fell out, that's how they were picked.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's really cool to see it, too, because that morphed into today's legal lottery system for the various states that have it.
Hmm. And it started at Bronzeville.
Yeah, there were several cities that were, those were real big in, back in the day. And as far as, like, a lot of this history around Bronzeville centers from the black migration from the South.
Mm-hmm.
Which really, the spread of the railway made it a lot easier for families to leave the South. And then World War I and World War II put a lot of cash in the hands of black families returning home from those wars to be able to make it out on their own and make a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like the Harlem Renaissance, the black metropolis in Chicago, Bronzeville, all those things sprung up as a result of that. And then, I mean, but those were two cities. I think Akron, Ohio was another, but they also spread out among the, to the West Coast and, New Mexico, Arizona, and various places like that, and, developed communities in those areas.
Yeah, well, I wonder if they do a season two, if they ever going to show those areas too, or are they just going to stay put in Bronzeville? Because, I think, what'd you call that? It would be interesting if they do that, like, just to see how, Bronzeville affect the United States, basically, like, with the lottery and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be cool. And then, you know, we got to hear a little bit about St. Louis.
Yep.
And how the various organized crime operated down there versus in Bronzeville. So there is a potential for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward if they do a new one, just to see where they go with it.
Yeah. But this, as far if you're into audio dramas, I mean, this Bronzeville was huge for audio dramas overall.
Yep.
Because of the star-studded cast. I mean, that it opened up the eyes of a huge new audience that did not know that audio dramas existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's really cool. And I got to see a lot of that traffic, you know, a lot of that talking on Twitter is like, I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know about the story. I didn't know about audio dramas. And so I'm hoping that podcasts overall will start to see more listeners pop up.
Yep. I'm hoping this one will spawn more original content too. Like, Bronzeville is based on like real cities and stuff, but all the characters are fictional, but they're based on, you know, real gangsters and the people who live there. So if this podcast just helps to create like other radio dramas that they can, you know, venture off and make original content, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah. And, did you listen to the interview with Michael Theobald, the historical consultant?
Oh, yes, yes. He had some very interesting, the one who helped, Josh Olson, right? He's like friends with him.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And he's got his own podcast out there, and, but he was telling us during that interview about a story where guys were fighting each other and they were dropping dynamite from biplanes.
Oh, wow. I remember this.
That.
Yes.
I want that as an audio drama.
Yeah.
That just sounds too crazy.
That sounds like some stuff I do in Ark.
Yeah. You should make a bronze. Is there bronze stuff in Ark? Like weapons are bronze. Oh,
you could paint them. You can dye them.
You can make a Bronzeville. Oh, I mean, you'd have to make exactly like Bronzeville here, but we can combine that and with the liquid
we'll
part.
We'll just use
Battle Symphony in the background.
We'll use the audio from Bronzeville and then make a cartoon with just art people. Oh, yeah.
Yes. That would take
It'd
so long.
It'd be like red versus blue.
Yeah.
Like red Terminator versus blue, 2 recreation in GTA 5.
Yeah. But yeah, we overall really like the podcast. We're going to go into spoilers and we're just going to do it really quickly. Maybe 5 minutes, say. So I'll put like a little timer. We can discuss the stuff that we like, the things like your favorite characters and stuff like that. Listeners, if you're not done with it, just come back in 5 minutes and we'll start it right now. So I have to say my favorite character in this show is probably Lisa. The way they portrayed her as like this powerful female protagonist, I was like, oh, this is what I like. They don't show in mostly like in audio drama or television shows, especially a person of color that's very like doesn't really need a bodyguard or something. She relies on herself and she's very smart, and I really like that. And I think for me, she basically like stole the show because you kind of like undermine her a little bit, and then by the end you're like, oh wow, she's capable of doing everything. And I remember Josh Olson said that she originally wasn't in there, so I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like they actually they added her, and I felt like she's one of the best parts of the show.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah, we both, when asked who our favorite character was, came out with Lisa too. Yeah, which is funny. Like you said, what wasn't going to play as big a part, or maybe not even be in it. So,
who else do you guys like on the show?
Well, you know, Jimmy's kind of the underdog.
Oh yes.
So. Got to root for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to know what happens to him. Is he going to still deal with the FBI? I'm sure they're not done with him.
No.
And the brothers don't have the... Well, right, okay, we're... Spoilers.
Oh, yeah, this is spoiler.
Now that the brother that doesn't like him is out of the picture, he should be sitting pretty. You know, he...
Is it Jesse, right?
Blank. Yeah. No, yeah.
Everett.
Jesse. Everett. Everett did not like him at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it started to shift near the end, but yeah, except for Everett, he was doing pretty well, but once Everett came into the picture, he started kind of getting the eyebrow.
Mm-hmm. So Jesse was killed, right, in the last moments of the show?
Everett,
sorry. I'm getting confused. So, in that last moment, when Everett got stabbed, I believe, right? Do you think, someone else betraying him? Like, besides, what's his name? I forgot the guy. I forgot the character guy. But, do you think he's working with someone to kill Everett?
Didn't we kind of, it looks like it's an inside job.
Yes.
Somebody from inside Everett's crew did it, mm-hmm. We were kind of leaning towards maybe Zeke.
Okay,
I did it. I mean, I think Britton came up with that theory, and I kind of jumped on it with him once he said it. But also there was the talk about there was still one of Sammy Minetti's guys in the room. We didn't think he was still in the room, but Josh Olson said he was still in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was just one of Sammy Minetti's unnamed goons, then I don't know what the intrigue is there. But
yeah. If he's unnamed and has no voice or anything.
Yeah, even if it's Bob, I mean, we don't know him or care about him.
Well, near the end, they threw a lot of other stuff, I think, just to spread confusion. But, you know, there were Tiny and Willie were talking about leaving town, and that seemed really suspicious, too. I mean... But at the same time, they had really good reason to leave town. I mean, Curtis was such a a loose cannon during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, I mean, they had the potential to do it as well and something to gain from it.
Yeah, I think it was Walt Disney who did it. he's in town for the train fair or whatever.
Yes,
was
yes.
Going on,
so. I was thinking that they will have someone voice him for a moment. I was like, who's going to voice this guy if they put him? Because they say his name. So I'm like, is he going to say something? And they don't. They don't. But I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I just cracked the numbers code. It's Walt, you know, Walt Disney killed everybody.
So. Disney. We should tweet that to Josh Olson. Maybe he has like a Disney he put so I remember on your guys' podcast they mentioned that Disney did go there or something like that.
Yeah, Disney was there like 2 years later whenever the actual affair actually happened or something. Because mm-hmm. the dates were off a little bit, and of course it's inconsequential to the story as we
yeah,
said.
Yes.
But it happened a different year, but it was something to have in that part of town that would be loud, so they could have this little shoot 'em up happen mm-hmm. without the police showing up.
But yeah, like those type of details I really like too on the series where they try to line up certain things. And I believe, like you said, like there's a baseball or a boxing match or something on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a doubleheader that happened in episode one or two that mm-hmm. was one that actually happened that day.
So I like how they get historical details like those right. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like if you're a fan of that stuff, you'll like, oh, they kind of go with little details about those situations.
Yeah, it shows special care, as we know, was taken mm-hmm. to me. And then makes you, it also, once you see that, oh, there was really a doubleheader that day, it kind of makes it feel a little bit more real.
Yep.
And it's a world that's lived in and things like that. So that's kind of important to me.
Yep, same here. And yeah, I have to say, I would just, yeah, like I said, I'm looking forward to hopefully the future of the show, either television or podcast. Do you guys have anything else to add to the spoiler?
Just want to know what happens to Curtis after all this, too.
Oh, yes. See, I thought Curtis was the one who wanted Everett Axe, because the way he gave that one little monologue or to Jimmy about him killing, or did he kill, oh, God, what's his name?
Mushmouth.
Yeah, Mushmouth. So, yeah, so I don't know if he did it again or something. Or
if he's the one who made
them do it or something.
That would be interesting.
Yes. And then Jimmy has
just
to
so
kill
he can
Curtis.
Stay in the game. Yo, oh God.
And then Lisa killed Jimmy. And women inherit the earth. So go back to our, you know, survival. Go back to dinosaurs. I try to put everything together.
And now we're at Gazorpazorp land.
Which one?
Gazorp field. Now we're in the Gazorp land.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, those are our impressions. Have to welcome back the listeners. We're done. Spoilers for Bronzeville. Yes, if you guys are interested, go to the website, bronzevilleseries.com. The shows are there. Go to iTunes. I wanted to review this or give impression of this show because I really want to spread the awareness because I feel like, especially on my Twitter, no one's really talking about it. So I'm like, I really want people to talk about this show because I really want this to have a season two, either on a television show or a podcast. I just want to spread the word more, basically. And besides you guys and Casey, especially Casey Whalen, like he promotes it. And what you call that? Also, I have to mention, too, we always mention We're Alive, and if you guys are interested too, that's another audio drama created by Casey Whalen about zombies. I don't want to get into too detailed about that, but if you like zombies or The Walking Dead, or if you're even tired of The Walking Dead, the television series, go ahead and check out We're Alive. It's a great podcast. Disclaimer, again, we kind of work with them, so I don't want the wrong impression.
Yeah, we don't work for him at all. We're complete 100% fans.
Oh, yes. Well, I worked with them.
Zero monies.
Yes.
No transaction at
yes.
all.
Yes. For Levi and Britton, they have it. They run a fan cast, and it's a really good one. If you guys want to check out We're Alive, they have the full. Do you guys started it like in season 3 when did you guys started yours? Because I know you guys took over another fan cast.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of season 4.
Yes, season 4.
And it was totally a fluke. I'll just throw that out there. We were just doing something to do it, just to wanting to start a podcast, but had no idea what we were doing. But it's been a fun ride ever since.
Yes, it is.
Oh yeah.
To listeners, go ahead and check those out. So that's the end of our show. But before that, we do have this ongoing list that we have, called the Freaking Awesome Things of 2017. We take 17 things basically that's awesome to us, basically, my brother, I, or anything from our guests, and we build this list basically. And currently on the list is Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, Ren Hang, the late photographer, Ren Hang, Get Out the movie, Samurai Jack the TV show, John Wick Chapter 2 the movie, Master of None Season 2 the TV show that you can watch on Netflix. Do you guys have anything to add to the list?
Yeah, man. First off, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard was awesome.
Yes.
My buddy and I played it. I went over to his house every Sunday for a couple weeks, and we just played it for a couple hours, and it was the house portion.
Yes.
Which is like the first 60% of the game was just excellent.
Then it becomes Resident Evil.
Like, yes, then it goes Resident Evil again.
Yep, yep, yeah.
But the horror aspect of it was so good.
Yeah, and I just loved that family. I was like, oh, this family just so crazy.
Right, and once they kind of change that part of it towards the end, it's not as interesting. No. But when it's happening, it's just so scary. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep.
But yeah, I've got something that you can consider adding to the list.
What is it?
So little rocket company called SpaceX. They launched they reused a rocket, mm-hmm. an orbital class rocket, to send something else into orbit, and then landed that rocket again on a drone ship out in the middle of the ocean.
Successfully, without blowing up?
Successfully, without blowing up, on 30th of March, 2017, this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome. I mean, they've landed, I don't know, 9 or 10 times now, maybe more than that even. They had a few blow up, but it was completely experimental. They were learning how to do it. And they're hitting this thing. If you look at it, you can't really see the scale of how tall this rocket is, this first stage of this rocket that's landing without wings, you know, without a runway. Mm. It's just landing straight up. This thing is 14 stories tall.
Oh, wow. I did not know those are
The landing legs that it uses, that looks like a tiny, I mean, when you look at it, it looks like a paper towel roll with a couple, you know, bobby pins coming out of the bottom of it. From the video, you can't really get a tell of it. But I mean, the engines on this thing, which look tiny on this 14 story tall first stage, those engines, a person can pretty much fit in those. And if you're standing underneath it, you couldn't reach up and touch the top of the legs. I mean, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy that they could, that in the short amount of time, he's pretty much perfected this landing on this, what they call an automated spaceport drone ship out in the, because there's nobody on it. There's a team of people nearby that show up to help fasten the legs, or they did early on in the first few launches, to fasten the legs to that automated spaceport drone ship. But that thing goes out there. And so the reason that's important is because Elon Musk basically wants humanity to have a multi-planet presence.
Yep.
And since nobody, including governments, was going to do it, you know, on Elon's schedule, he's decided to go ahead and start his own space program, basically his own, you know, space company. Mm-hmm. And personally, I love space. I mean, the portal joke, space. I'm in space, if you remember that. But always have since I went to space camp back when I was like in elementary school. So to see someone like this do something like this and to be able to watch it like real time and live is freaking awesome. And the way that they're going about it. And once it's done, once he did this, because, I mean, he took a rocket that had launched to space. He refurbished it and then used it again. As soon as that was done, Elon tweeted out, like, yeah, we're very proud. We're happy we're able to do this. He doesn't just sit there, though. He goes ahead and pushes the envelope even further and says now the goal is going to be to land it and launch it again within 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
For the true rapid reusability that they always talk about, mm-hmm. which is key. Landing these things and cutting costs like this are how he wants to do the colony thing on Mars. Because, I mean, right now their plans are launching like 100 or 500 people on this new rocket that they're developing to go to Mars. Hmm. Like not the Falcon 9 Heavy, but what's called the big freaking rocket, the BFR.
Is it really called the BFR?
Early on, all it was a BFR. And they were saying, you know, big Falcon rocket, but really it's big freaking rocket.
Wait, do they play Doom?
Yeah, BFG. Yeah, exactly. No, he talks about playing like Kerbal Space Program and Overwatch.
What? Sure. I did not know that about him.
Well, that's how he taught him some of the stuff he knows about, you know, the physics behind spaceflight is by playing Kerbal.
Wow, he should stream these just to see him play that.
He should. But I don't believe he really plays it all that much.
Well, he...
Okay. I thought his engineers or someone...
You would say that. You say that, but he's got a book that's about him out there, and it's called Elon Musk's... It's Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future. Mm-hmm. And when it starts off, you know, the first... He created his first video game at the age of 12 called Blastar.
I never knew that.
And that kind of steamrolled everything. Hmm. and calling him the real life Batman or Iron Man, I don't think even hits the mark. The book is crazy. His life is crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's worth listening to. It's an exciting story. But yeah, this is a big game changer.
Yeah, I'm happy to add it to the list. But I'm wondering how to word this. SpaceX. what day was it?
March 30th.
March 30th
this year.
Mm-hmm. How did they call it something like? How would I word this on the list? SpaceX March 30th landing or?
Let's see. Let's see. SpaceX reused rocket. I don't know. Let's see what they how they talk about it.
Bringing us into the space age for real this time?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just going to call it SpaceX March 30th, 2017 reuse rocket. Britton, do you have anything to add?
The only thing that I'm going to push for, because I feel that strongly about it, is putting Rick and Morty on that list.
Okay, I feel like that too, I didn't watch it yet.
I know the season's not out yet, but it will be out this year. And
how about adding the series. April Fool's Day one, and then yes, Rick and Morty April Fool's Day episode. I wanted to add that, but I didn't watch it. But I'm happy to have those two on the list. Like previous years, we added like events too, or last year we added events too. So I'm happy that we added, like these type of events too, like the, milestones basically, especially going to space because I want to see that, or I hope my son gets to see that. That's what I really, really hope. I hope I get to see us go touch Mars at least, but if my son can live like, oh yeah, those people are from Mars, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Elon's older than us, and he plans on having this thing running smoothly before he's gone.
Wait, how old is he?
Mid-40s, I
guess? Okay, yeah. That is not old.
No, no, I'm saying he's older than us. Yes. Yeah, exactly. He's got time.
He looks kind of older, though. I didn't know he was mid-40s. He probably has a lot of stress because
he may be late 40s.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah. You know, well, he sunk everything he had into both Tesla and SpaceX.
Oh, wow.
And was on the verge of filing bankruptcy with SpaceX and himself. He was living in a friend's house.
Oh, wow. I did not know it was like that.
Oh, yeah. When he landed the contract, that was like what saved everything.
I hope he's successful with this.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I really just hope the SpaceX program works.
Right. He turns 46 next month.
Okay.
Just looked it up real quick. But yeah, and the third, they had two failures when they launched the first Falcon rockets. And then the third one, I think, was the very last dollar he had, basically, for this company. And they put a four-leaf clover on the little, you know, they make the little badges or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's like the little patches? That's it. The patch. They have a patch for each launch. They put a four-leaf clover on this patch, and it ended up launching great and worked, and which led them to them getting the NASA contract and all that. So for every patch after that, there's a hidden four-leaf clover somewhere on it. Not necessarily hidden, but it's on.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That will make a great movie.
Seriously.
Definitely.
Especially if like the movie's called Four-Leaf Clover or whatever, like. I don't know, like that. That's the thing, the symbol for it. But yeah, that's I like the list so far for this year. So we have 8 things to recap: Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, Ren Hang, Get Out, Samurai Jack, John Wick Chapter 2, Master of None Season 2, SpaceX reuse rocket on March 30th, 2017, and Rick and Morty April Fool's episode. Yeah, thank you for contributing to the list, you guys.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
So that's the end of our episode. I just want to thank Levi and Britton for joining me. Do you guys have anything to plug?
No. We're pretty pumped on our end for Gold Rush to get released.
Oh, yes. Gold Rush. So for the listeners, Gold Rush is the next chapter of the We're Alive series. The previous one was called Lockdown. So if it's a... I have to say I'm looking forward to that too. Yeah. do you guys have any Twitter handles you want to promote?
Sure. Yeah, you can follow the fancast at WA Fancast for We Are Live Fancast.
Okay. Yes.
That's probably the easiest way to find both of us. Mine's weird. I got underscores in my name.
So. Or you can just go to nickred.com to get all your content.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all there.
Yes. Yes. And for us, for any questions or comments, you can email us at contact@thefreakingawesome.com. You can like or follow us on Twitter at TFA now. And like us on Facebook under The Freaking Awesome. So, yeah, thank you again, Levi and Britton, for everything. For future, I hope for future episode, I'll invite you guys if we find something that you guys like. I know you guys
sure.
are not into the DC movies, but I wonder if you guys could come back for those.
Oh, no, I love the DC movies.
Oh, the Batman and Superman?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, okay, so I like them too. My brother is a huge fan, so maybe when Justice League comes out, we can have you guys back.
Sounds good. Hey, thank you, John.
Oh, thank you. So I'm John Abaya.
I'm Levi.
I'm Britton.
And that was the Freaking Awesome Podcast.